Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Thank you very much. If you have a Bible, which wouldn't hurt, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I haven't got notes today because I want you to practice your Bible page turning skills. How many have got a paper Bible here? Dan, I love it. You're in your 20s and you've got a paper Bible. I'm loving it. Straight to the top of the class. Who else has got a paper Bible? Yeah? How many people are using... There you go. How many people are using electronic? Electronic. If it helps, it's all right, as long as you read it. Whatever you do, use one that makes you want to read it more. That's all that matters. Hunger and thirst after it. I find this easy because I've got all my little pencil marks and stuff in. You look at it on that digital screen. You know, I've tried to pencil it a few times, wrecked the iPad, you know. But never mind. So we're going to have a look at a couple of verses, and I want you to see that because we want to talk about this person of the Holy Spirit, and the title today is You're the Light of the World. So I need you to turn to the person next to you and say, did you know you're the light of the world? You are the light of the world. You're happy there? Should we move closer, or you're all right? You're right on the end there. You're all right? You're the light of the world. What an interesting phrase, isn't it? Most people, if you talk to Christians, they would think, well, Jesus said he was the light of the world. You'd all... But did you know that Jesus said to us, you're the light of the world? Yeah, yeah. Did you know that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's really true. Have a look here in Matthew 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is pretty early on in Jesus' ministry. And I want you to see that he's addressing followers. He's addressing believers. We got music on there in the background. Is it just unplug the iPod or whatever it is. I don't know where it's coming from. Yeah, there it is. Gone away. Remarkable. It's a talented machine that it plays when you don't want it to. Yeah. So let's have a look here. Matthew 5. So he's speaking to people. He's early in his ministry. He's speaking to people that are following him, that have chosen to believe in him. And in verse 11, I just started here to encourage you if you've had a bad week. I'm encouraging myself, you know. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Is that all right? You're feeling better now?
Yeah.
You're blessed. Yeah. Rejoice and be glad. Everyone just put a smile on your face. Everyone kind of shine. You ready to shine? One, two, three. Shine. Rejoice and be glad. Did you know that rejoicing is a decision you make? Because this person here is in the midst of a poopy kind of situation. People are saying horrible things against them. And Jesus says, I understand how terrible it is, you poor thing. I will join your pity party with you and we can all drink too much and be miserable together and give up because it's all too hard. Now, if you're a human like me, you probably feel like that at times. And it's all right to feel like that. Because we have feelings. It's just that feelings are not very good things to base your life on. If you did everything you felt, there'd be a few people that'd be dead by now. And you'd be in a lot of trouble for that. So he says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before me. And then he says to them, now listen, you are the salt of the earth. Everyone say, I'm the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, now he's talking to followers of Jesus. All people are wonderful. All people are beautiful. All people are amazing. Muslims, Buddhists, Sikhs, atheists, doesn't matter to me. God loves every one of them, and we need to love every one of them with all of our hearts. This kind of yes. Even Ian. Even Ian. But we have to, you know, you have to let God move in your heart in such a way to realize that people are just magnificent. And every one of them are absolute treasures. And if you look at them and you say, well, I don't agree with what they did, or they made a mistake here, well, you know, look at yourself. Did you ever make a mistake? What helps you the best when you make a mistake? Somebody who believes in you even despite it? That's what God is like, and we need to be like Him for everybody. But then now He's saying here to people who are following Him, you guys, He's saying it to us. This is to God's people. This is to believers. This is, you're the salt of the earth. Now, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? It's no longer good for anything. And then He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. And the end of that is, so in the same way, let your light shine before other people. So there's two things here. You're the light, you're the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world. Now salt, you know, you may have learnt this, studied this before. Salt has a number of characteristics. It's a preservative. So in the old days they used to not have fridges. They would put things in salt. It would maintain them. It adds tang to food. In fact, you know, Caroline's a great cook, and one of the, every now and then I ask her what she's put in it, and nearly always there's a bit of salt and pepper. I wouldn't know that. Excuse my ignorance. I just wouldn't know. If I'm cooking, I can cook eggs. I can make porridge and a few other things. But you know, as far as putting a meal together, I wouldn't have a clue. But nearly everything, you flavour it with some salt and some pepper. Salt has that flavouring. Salt also agitates. If you put salt in a wound, salt's got a certain piquancy. It's a cleansing thing, that's right. So salt is, and we're salt, we're supposed to bring that influence into the earth. And that influence primarily comes from the presence of God on your life. I loved what Lucille said later when she said something. I don't know if it was when she was talking or earlier, but she talks a lot, Lucille, so somewhere in there. And it was something about, you know, we carry His presence, we bring His presence. And you do, you bring salt everywhere you go. But if you lose your saltiness, then you're still loved by God, but you're not much use to God. I'm sorry to say that. But it would be better to be honest. There are lots of Christians, too many, that God loves them, but they're not much use to Him because they've lost their saltiness. They've lost that sense of the presence of God. Another word for that is holy, because holy isn't a moral word. Holy doesn't mean you're very well behaved and you're chastity and all. Holy just means set apart, separate. Like black against white, it's holy, it's set apart. And there's something about God's people that have been set apart. And we're different, and we carry God's presence. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get so familiar with the world we live in that we lose the salt of the presence of God. That's not good. And so God wants us to stay salt. And one of the purposes of church, joining together like this, is to get under the glory of God, get under the presence of God, so we get re-salted, can I put it that way? Yeah. Or we get re-lit, because you're the light of the world, something fresh. You ought to feel sharper, brighter, happier when you leave church than when you did come in. If you don't, you better find another church, because that should happen. And of course, if you can't do that anywhere, then maybe you need to, you know, we'll give you some help. Yeah. Now the point, you see, is that God's presence, God's Holy Spirit gives us light. But you're the light of the world. In other words, another way you could say it is this. You were born for influence. And that's a good thing to write down. You were born for influence. From when God made you, doesn't matter whether you were from the backwater of some little Australian town or you were born in Scotland, or you were born, you know, in a house in a village of three people, it doesn't matter. You were born for influence. In fact, it's most like God to choose the things that came from nowhere much and put His glory on them. It's exactly what was true of Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth was not a place you wanted to go. Nazareth is what you would call a hole. Well, we'd call it that in Australia. It just wasn't. Nobody was proud of being from Nazareth. But that's just like God. He'll choose the things. You'll feel like I'm this, I'm that. I didn't have this advantage. I didn't have that education. I can just see God rubbing his hands and say, that, excellent. Someone I can work with. And that's what he's like. And so, see, you were born. You, every one of us, were born for influence. And the greatest influence you have is the salt and the light of God's presence. Now, that's a statement Jesus is making. He's not saying one day, if you this, that, then you could be. He's just saying you are. And I want you to take like 15 seconds, close your eyes, and just say quietly to yourself, I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am. I'm salt in this earth from God. I'm light. And my light is supposed to shine. I was born for influence. Just say that over to yourself in your mind a couple of times. I am the light of the world. I know what some of you are thinking. You think, this sounds a lot like a cult here. Hang on a minute. I am the light of the world. But that's, you see, that's the religious spirit that stops people being effective. This is not the only truth in the Bible, but it's a really important one. Jesus is speaking. He said, you are the light of the world. You are. You're not the only one, but we together, we all bring light. And it's when you start to believe that. Oh, okay, you can open your eyes now. But that, all we did there was meditate. That's the, you know, Bible meditate. We thought and chewed over that for a minute. And I can guarantee you, for a lot of us, that would be a new thought, a challenging thought. Not, maybe not for a lot, but for a number of us. Because it's scary. It sounds too self-centered. It's all about me. No, it's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. But you're very important to Jesus. And if you keep walking around feeling like you're not important, then everybody else is going to look at you and think you're not important. And the message that you have, which is the good news of Jesus, is not going to fall on many ears. Not because God doesn't want to use you, because you refuse to believe that you're the light of the world, which he plainly said. That was pretty good preaching right there. Now, of course, this is, you know, if I were to say this in some churches, they'd throw you out. Because it's just all too, you know, But it's that I feel like God is moving and changing things. God loves the people of England. You know, I was born in Australia. I've been here for nearly 20 years. In February, it'll be 20 years. And I was born for this country and Western Europe. Much as my wife might like to go to Australia because of the hot weather and the beaches. Unlike all other English people, they never feel like that, but you know, no. And my parents, who I spoke to this week, they're both in their 80s, they'd love it if I went to Australia, and I love them and I'll see them when I can, but God created me for a purpose. And he loves the people in England. He just does. And if we're hearing the heartbeat of God, you're going to start loving the people in England. It's easy to find fault. Everybody does it. Just read a newspaper. That's all they're doing. Theresa May shouldn't have done this. Donald Trump shouldn't have done that. You know, the government shouldn't have done this. The NHS shouldn't have done that. It's just endless criticisms of people. Whoa. How mature. You know, how helpful. No, we need to love people. I don't care whether you're a conservative or a whatever the other ones are, Labour. Yeah. You better love people. Amen. You better pray for them. Yeah. Don't be praying, Lord God, get her out. Pray for them. Get God's love is in your heart. But you see, you lose your saltiness if you become so influenced by what the newspapers keep saying that you forget what God said. God said that he put his love inside of your heart. It's love that changes the world. It's not voting for this person or that person that's going to change the world. You know, we all have our views on Brexit and everything else, but I can tell you, that God is going to move in England, to Brexit or no Brexit. It's a side issue. It's not the big thing. The newspapers are just trying to sell newspapers. They don't care about you. They'll just print anything to try and sell them. The news rattling on and on. God is moving. That's what you need to know. Heaven, there are angels in heaven mounting on horses ready to move. There's visions and great things coming. It's happening all over the world, and it's going to happen here in increasing measure. And one of the first things to pack up and move out will be this religious spirit that loves to make Christian people feel small about themselves. No. You feel big about yourself, and you use that bigness to glorify Jesus, who made you feel big about yourself. You're very important to God. So you're salt and you're light. If you're born, say it again, I'm born for influence. That may do some of you more good than reading a whole chapter of the Bible. Would just be to sit there for 10 minutes and think on that. Because that, and keep drumming it into your brain, because if you're anything like me, there's resistance. You know, it's called the old mind, the old mindset. Oh, hang on, can that really be true?
It's the devil.
Yeah. Thank you, Naveen. Yep. So you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. I've got a couple more verses and then we're done. John 20, let's flip over to there. I'm talking to you about you're the light of the world, what you are, who you are. I mean, that would be enough right there, but there's more. It would say there's more. John 20, 21, right at the end of John, here's a fairly important thing that Jesus is saying. So he's now about to depart. He appears to his disciples, his followers, that'd be like you and me. I wonder what he's got to say. I wonder what his kind of synopsis is of the situation. Here we go. In 21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." So he's always bringing peace. And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And verse 22, "And with that he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit." Now most Bible teachers that I know would say that that's the point where people are born again. I think that's a pretty reasonable conclusion. But, you know, you don't have to hang your hat on it. But I dare say if Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, they did. I doubt very much that he said it and nothing happened. So he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And to be born again, you have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit. And clearly this is not what happened in Acts when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Because that was a separate thing. But anyway, that's a little aside. That Holy Spirit is important there. But notice this, verse 21, "As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you." Did God send Jesus into the world? You think? As much as he was sent by God, he sent you. That's the point. You've been sent. If you're a believer, if you've received Jesus, you become a sent person. I'm sent into the world. Everything changes. Your mission changes. Your heart changes. Your life changes because now you've got a great reason to live. God sent me into this world. What to do? Love people. Help people. Tell people about him. Sow good seeds. Bear good fruit. And see his kingdom expanded. Pray. Because when it's all said and done and you're 20 or 30 or 60 or 80 or 100 years is up or whenever it is and you're gone, then you can't do that down here anymore. And you and see, sometimes people feel like the God's got their hand behind their back. Oh, he's making me do this. He wants me to witness to people. Oh, I don't want, you know. He wants me to help that poor person and pick them up. But, you know, I'm running late already for a party. I've got to go. But God's, the greatest thing you can do in the world is flow along with God. All he's got is your good. And he's got your good intentions in mind. And when this short life is over, lady, then we go and get a reward. And you get rewarded according to how you use this life down here. And if you spent 99.5% of your life down here, worried about, focused on, you know, paying your bills and your mortgages and making sure you had the latest shoes and the latest phone and your hair was done properly, and a lady that gets her hair done specially, you know. You know, and the house was just so, and I did this and I did that. And these, a lot of these things are good things. But never get good. Let get good thing. Never let bad. Never let good things get in the way of the best thing.
Absolutely.
Not everything that's opposed to the best thing in your life is a bad thing. Sometimes there are good things, like loving your family, which can get in the way of the best thing, which is, of course, you've got to love your family, but you've got to love God first. And you don't take away from one to do the other. But there is, you know, you're a limited resource. You've got limited time and limited ability, and God sent you, just like Jesus sent me. So close your eyes for 15 seconds. You're going to think about that. God sent me. God sent me. I'm sent by God, just like Jesus was sent by God. There's Jesus in that little manger. Well, I'm not in a manger, but I'm sent by God. When I go home to my house, I was sent by God there. I drive that car, catch that bus, I'm sent by God. There are people that are waiting there and they don't know that God sent me every day of my life. The family I've got, whether I like them or don't like them, God sent me there. I've got something I can bring. They may reject me, they may open their arms, that's all right. I'm sent by God. I am a God-sent person. Say it with me, I'm sent by God. Really, really important. And then look, here's the last little thing I want to share with you in terms of who we are. Look at John. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm tying this all in, but look at John 14, verse 12. I mean, we've only shared, this is the fourth little thought. They're pretty good thoughts. I mean, if you actually believed what I told you this morning and went out and did it, your life would change dramatically. Some people think, well, we need more information. No, you don't really need, you got plenty. You got enough this morning to explode all over the planet. You just got to act on what you hear. You got to believe it. You got to get your heart positioned to receive it. So number one, you're the light of the world. Everyone say, I'm the light of the world. I'm the salt of the earth. I've been sent by God. And then here's this one. This could be even better than the others, if that's possible. John 14, 12. Jesus is speaking very truly. Sorry, John 14, verse 12, yep. Very truly I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Can you believe it? How many Jesus works have we done this week? Well, we're getting there. We got one. We got a lady who met Jesus, didn't we? At Meadowside. That's magnificent. This is not designed to make you feel guilty. This is designed to inspire you. There's so much more in this life that's yet to open up for you. It's incredible. And you may sit here and feel like, well, my life's just been a mess and it's been miserable. Well, that's why God sent me. To tell you good news. It doesn't have to be that way anymore. It's not my great power or authority. It's Jesus' great work. I'm just a messenger. But I will say the message. You, according to Jesus, are going to do, all who believe in him are going to do the same works that he did. Let's think about some of those works. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you for everyone who wants to serve God, minister. This is important. The number one thing Jesus did was preach and teach. When we think about the works of Jesus, everybody thinks, well, miracles, raising the dead, which is part of it, casting out devils, which is part of it. But the highest priority was him telling good news. Very important to know that. True of all ministers. If you've got apostles, prophets, you know, especially say with prophets who bring prophetic words and do that, their first responsibility of all ministry gifts is preaching and teaching the word of God. Just sitting there getting words for somebody and you're not preaching and teaching, that's not really valid. You've got to preach and teach the word of God. But then within that, you are gifted certain ways. And so Jesus preached and taught. Well, you're going to do the same things. He raised the dead. That's the same thing. Now, different people are gifted differently. I know that. We could go into that. But let's just cut the lines, you know, give ourselves a bit of slack. You're going to do the same things. Heal the sick. Open deaf ears. Cast out demons. Exercise authority over demons. Miraculous provision of food. And there are lots of other stories. What you should do when you go home, maybe you'll read the Bible this week. I'd be so excited if you did that. I would. I know I'm sounding cheeky, but I would. Maybe you could read some of what Jesus said in the Bible and see some of the miracles. Mark, if you want to get to the miracles the fastest with and cut out most of the padding, then the Gospel of Mark will be your favourite. Because it just gets straight to the point very quickly and it's shorter than the others. You know, see how helpful I am. But if you read that and every time you see a miracle, make a little note. You could even write it down in your Bible or scratch it on your iPad. You know, you could say, that's the sort of thing I do. That's the sort of thing I do. That's the sort of thing I do. I do those things. You say, well, I've never done them before. Well, not a one. Have you ever believed that you're supposed to before? Because you'll always live in accordance with what you believe. So my job is to help you shift your belief. In case I'm working on you right now, in case you hadn't noticed. But that's it. That's what a preacher is supposed to do. If you just come in here and I tell you the same things you already knew, that's not going to do any good. Because we all want to go forward. And I'm doing the same thing. I listen, I learn, I read, I talk, I have friends, I shift all the time. Because I'm just warming up. I'm you know. Yeah. We haven't really got going here yet. We're having some fun. And that's the thing. So you've got to grow. So you've got to. Now, you'll never receive anything if you don't believe it. God might say from heaven, might be shouting out through my voice today, you are wonderfully made. God could, and the whole of heaven could be cheering, but if you won't believe it, you will live as if you're not wonderfully made, even though God thinks you are. That's the power of human persons and the will he gave us, you see. So what you believe becomes tremendously important. It determines what your future is. And I want to suggest to you that when Jesus said, and I'll read it again for you, these words, those who have faith in me will do the works I've been doing and even greater things. I want to suggest that that is the sort of thing you need to be believing about yourself. Miracles could pop out at any time. People could come into my path. Demons could come out. Good news could be shared at any time. And then I know what it's like. All those fear thoughts will come. Oh, yeah, but what about? Oh, yeah, but that's why I'm working with you like this, because you've got to believe more what he said. That devil that tells you you can't and you won't and you shouldn't and you're afraid, you're not even afraid. The real you on the inside isn't afraid. The real you is in the image of Jesus. The real you is a very confident, happy, relaxed person. But if you don't believe that, then you're going to walk around like you're afraid. And you're not afraid at all. God didn't make afraid people. Fear is something that is under your feet. It's not like, well, I'm wrestling with the old man. He's fearful and the new man, you know. The old man's dead, finished. It's just the devil will try and pitch you anything he can. You wouldn't believe what is potentially can come out of your life if you'll believe how much God values you. And then my last thought, and then I close, because here's the key, and this is where we're going in this month of October. Listen to the end of John 14. How are you going to do that? What kind of a statement is that? You're going to do the same things Jesus did and greater. So, well, how? Have a look. He tells you. And he does this, because I am going to my Father. Because I'm going to my Father. What's so significant about going to his Father? Well, if you flip over to John 16, it's right next door, and we start in verse 5, and we'll read this little passage. Jesus is talking about him going to his Father. And this is what we've got to see. Now, we've seen a few things this morning, but I want to close on this thought. Jesus says to his disciples, now I'm going to him who sent me. I'm going. None of you ask me, where are you going? But you are filled with grief. Well, you can understand. They've been with Jesus. He's only just fed. Like, how would you be sitting there? How would you be if you were the kid with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? You'd be feeling pretty awesome the rest of your life. That was me. They were my fish, baby. 10,000 men were fed and they were my fish. You might meet him one day. But here we go. He'd be so excited about that. And he's leaving, and he says, "Now you guys are filled with grief, or you're sad because I've said these things, because I'm going." But he says, "Listen, I tell you, it's for your benefit that I'm going away." What? Jesus is leaving, and it's going to be for your benefit. Everyone say, "For my benefit." Say this. Jesus is leaving, and it's for my benefit. Because I want you to get this, because what's going to happen? Unless I go away, the advocate, the comforter, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him. When he comes, he will prove to the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness, about sin because people don't believe in me, because I'm going to my Father. I have much more to say to you. But when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what's to come. He will glorify me. And from me, and he will receive what he has from me and make it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I say the Spirit will receive from me and make it known to you. What Jesus is saying is, it's a benefit for him to go, because if he goes, he can send the Holy Spirit. And he knows by first-hand experience that the Holy Spirit is the one that makes the whole thing work. And you've got to get that. Because a lot of Christians get nervous. See, the Holy Spirit is God as much as the Father is God. And the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, he's a bit undercover in a way, if you like, because his job is to glorify Jesus. So it's not about glorifying himself. Jesus, we're worshiping. But he helps us do that. And you remember Jesus? See, when he's saying this, he's saying, "Guys, you don't know what you're in for. Let me just whet your appetite. You see the same things I did? You're going to do the same and even better. You know how you're going to do them? The same way I did them. The Holy Spirit's going to come." That's why it's a benefit. Because Jesus lived for 30 years and did not one miracle, not one sign, not one wonder, nothing. And he was Jesus until the Holy Spirit came on him. Yeah. And he knew. And then he says, remember how he did everything? He says, "I only do what I see my Father do." Jesus operated in this life just the way you can. Only doing what you... And who showed him what the Father's doing? The Holy Spirit. The Father didn't get off the throne. He's on the throne. That's his place. That's his job. The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes, and all of a sudden now, Jesus can see what the Father is doing, and he makes time. And that's the one thing I don't care. He makes time to be with this person called the Holy Spirit. As much as there's a Father in heaven and a Jesus sitting on the throne, there's a Holy Spirit, a person on this earth. And his power will absolutely, radically change your life. He's the key. Jesus put all his everything on the Holy Spirit. There wasn't a miracle until the Holy Spirit was there. You've got to get that. And for us, when we switch over, the Holy Spirit's with us, but when we switch over to understand, I'm the light of the world, I'm the salt of the earth, I'm sent by God, I do the same things. It's because him. Because he's with me. That's the greatest key we've got. Let's close our eyes. Father, I really believe that Jesus' relationship and connection and dependence on the Holy Spirit was his greatest key in his whole life. And I believe that you want to do the same things Jesus did through us and through all your people. And that it's not difficult, it's not mustering a whole lot of energy or whipping anything up, it's not going to theological college, it's being thoroughly acquainted with this person called the Holy Spirit. And I ask you now, Holy Spirit, come and visit all our people, those that are here, those that aren't here. And I pray for Staines, for this town, Father, that you visit, Holy Spirit, all the people you've sent here, all the leaders and the people you've sent. There are people here you've sent. Some of them are struggling. Some of them are wanting to see things change, we ask you today, we pray for our town. Visit your people and let such an awareness of the Holy Spirit come that we can truly say, even next week when we gather together, something has shifted in my life. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you. Very kind. Always my pleasure to be here. I love it. I appreciate that you're hungry and you're thirsty.